Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So on the Window Nation guest hotline, let's welcome back Childs Walker. Childs, good morning. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling good, guys. I'm just I'm glad that minicamp wasn't this week, so we weren't standing out there in 100 degree heat.
Hey, man, that's why they pay you guys the big money, Childs Walker, to go out there and do all that sorts of stuff. But anyway, your observations from camp were what in regards to, is anything that you've seen maybe lessen the expectations that this could potentially be, on paper, the most talented Ravens team of all time? As we celebrate the 30th anniversary, 30th season of Ravens football with two championships, Super Bowl rings, and multiple playoff appearances and Hall of Famers, et cetera, on paper, could this possibly be the best Ravens team ever?
You know, I said exactly that to a couple of my colleagues. We were standing around during the last minicamp practice after the Jaire Alexander signing had been announced, of course. And I was trying to think. I mean, I don't, at least at this point in the cycle, in terms of balance, high-end talent, you know, health, I don't think they've ever been in a better position at this point, you know, a month out from the start of camp. I couldn't think of a better situation for them. So we have a long, long way to go. A lot of things can happen. We know that. We've seen it. But at least in terms of where they are right now, I can't think of a better situation that they've been in.
Child, speaking kind of to that, like, when, I don't know if you've tried to do your 53 yet, but if you do, where are you going to have, like, they're going to lose some good players. Like, who do you think is going to get sacrificed because of numbers?
You know, I haven't mapped my 53 yet. I probably should have. It's a good question. I mean, you know, you could see, I guess at this point, you could see a talented defensive back maybe not have a spot. You know, somebody who would, you know, who you'd like to have around from a developmental standpoint. I mean, that's a possibility. One of those young D-backs. Although, you know, they're loath to ever give up depth there. So, I don't know. I mean, they have all those wide receivers out there. Obviously, those guys aren't all gonna be there. I don't know that you're sacrificing any big time talent there. I don't know. What do you think? Do you have your eye on anybody in particular, Vinny?
Well, to me, it's kind of like Ali and maybe Ajabo, those two type guys possibly. But my next question is like, how many draft picks don't make the team?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I mean, it's such a set roster. I mean, you have to think, you know, and they had all those late picks too. I mean, that's the other that's the other thing that factors into that. Now there's some guys that you think, well, they drafted that guy for a specific reason. I mean, like the wide receiver, you would think that they, you know, from Colorado, you would think
Wester.
They drafted him, Wester, right? You would think they drafted him to be the punt returner, right? So there's like a specific, you know, slot they'd like to put him in. So, you know, maybe that gives him a better shot. Obviously, you know, they drafted the kicker to be the kicker. but yeah, I mean, when you start to look at guys like, you know, Aeneas Peebles or Robert Longerbeam, you know, people like that, I mean, they probably are fighting for a spot in a way that they wouldn't be in a normal position. Bilal Cohn, I mean, I know that they like things about all those guys, but, you know, if you're a sixth or seventh round pick staring at this roster, there's a good chance you're headed for the practice squad or another team, right? I mean, it's just going to be tough. You're not going to have a reserve spot.
You know, my question is, all right, say you keep eight O-linemen, you know, how are your rookie, you know, I mean, because Cleveland probably makes it, and Samek probably makes it, and Noteboom makes it, you know, then what else do you, what happens to Emory Jones? Well, Bob made a good point earlier, you're probably going IR, You know, but it's going to be they've got a lot of questions that are going to be interesting.
Or like, I mean, right, Carson Vinson, right? They draft him as a developmental tackle in the fifth round. I don't see them cutting him because, I mean, they, you know, I mean, Eric would not want to give up a fifth round pick, and they drafted him. They clearly like, you know, they see long-term potential there. They have no expectation that he's going to play this year. So, I mean, you don't want to, you certainly wouldn't want to cut him, but you know, you'd also, you know, I mean, the whole league is so desperate for offensive linemen. You know, could you sneak a rookie fifth round pick onto the practice squad? Maybe not. So yeah, it's going to be real, real rough around the fringes because there's hardly any spots.
Childs, how confident are you in Luke?
In Luke, I don't know. I guess by saying I don't know, that means I'm not 100% confident, right? I mean, he had some not great days in the days that we saw. I mean, I think one in particular. I think it'll be interesting to see if that becomes a real competition in training camp. My guess is they don't want it to be. I mean, they would love him to just come out and nail it, and you know, he's the guy, and everybody's excited. But you know, it was clear. I mean, we're just watching what was going on during some of those practices. I mean, it seemed like there were moments where they were trying to sort of reassure him and, you know, make sure his confidence was there. And so, I mean, you know, it's not like the summer where Justin Tucker came in 2012 and just seemed to not miss a kick for the entire time. And you didn't even think he was in competition until sometime during camp. But I mean, you know, he sort of forced the issue. I mean, it certainly has not been that clean so far. So, I mean, it's going to be a big storyline going into camp. It's going to be a big storyline throughout camp. Assuming he's the guy going into the season, it's going to be a big, big storyline throughout the season, whether it goes well or it doesn't go well. There's no way around it. I mean, the spotlight's going to be on it.
Childs Walker, Baltimore Banner. Childs, what's happening on the website right now?
What now?
What's going on at BaltimoreBanner.com?
Oh, well, it's, you know, mostly baseball stuff. I mean, but I got a story, you know, I got NBA draft on Wednesday. So I got a story dropping about Derek Queen, you know, his life, growing up in Baltimore and kind of how that shaped him. So that's what I've been working on lately in addition to football. So that's fun. And then, we'll be revving up for a camp in about a month.
Phoenix getting that 10th pick might change his destination. Who really knows? But Childs Walker, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Stay cool. As they say, keep hydrating.
we'll do it. Thanks, Chris.
There you go. Childs Walker, everybody. Speaking of that draft, Jimmy Patsos, me and the coach will be together for 4 hours on Thursday post first round. Look ahead to the second round. Derek Queen is expected to be part of that lottery selection. You do not want to miss that. So stick around when we come back. Speaking of the NBA, championship decided in game 7. Big injury, however, not only impacting the game last night, but maybe the Pacers season going into 25-26. And then we have Jared Sandler talking about the Texas Rangers. They're in town, 3-game series tonight against the Orioles. It's Texas hot. Unfortunately for the Orioles, like the Rangers, they moved out of their old ballpark because it got so hot. They needed a...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Proof.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport.
Every game.
Everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Top of the Whip Around here on this Monday. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. The NBA Finals concluded last night in OKC. There was drama. There was heartbreak. And ultimately, of course, there was a champion crown.
Nembhard kicks it out. Toppin. Good contest from Dort. Halliburton falls down. He looks hurt. Here comes SGA the other way. Inside, and Williams throws it down. Halliburton's hurt right away when he fell. SGA tries to answer. And does. His first three-pointer. He was 0 for 5. The Thunder have taken the NBA by storm. For the first time, the NBA champion resides in Oklahoma City. The storybook season is complete.
Mike Breen, ABC / ESPN on the call as the Oklahoma City Thunder, the number one seed, win the NBA championship for the first time in their history, not Seattle. That was the Sonics. This is the Thunder. 103-91. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 29 points, 5 boards, 12 assists, as he is MVP of the regular season and the NBA Finals. They win in 7 games. And as you heard, in the first quarter, about 4 minutes left, Tyrese Haliburton, who got off to a great start, tears his Achilles tendon, done for the game, probably done for months. Will have an impact, I would assume, on the Pacers offseason because they're going to need to replace him. Their only free agent is Miles Turner. We'll talk about this with Sean Devaney later in the show. But they were still in the game. It was tied in the third quarter. And then the Thunder just kind of wore them down a little bit, pulled away. Jalen Williams had 20. Pascal Siakam for the Indiana Ball Club, he had 18 points, 8 rebounds. Ben Mathurin, he had 24. He had 13 rebounds, 3 assists. So he stepped up in a big way. Aaron Wiggins had a rebound, former Terp. Of course, as he becomes the fourth Maryland player to win an NBA championship ring, joining Tony Massenburg, Adrian Branch, and Keith Booth. Buck Williams played in the finals twice for the Blazers. They lost to, Detroit and then the Lakers a couple years later. But OKC's loaded. Ton of draft capital. Young players still very much in their prime. So look out for them. You cannot anoint dynasties because it never really turns out to be as such because other franchises try. But based on talent alone, they're going to be a force and formidable for many years to come. And they're only going to get better. Presti's a brilliant GM, so watch out for OKC. There was a trade, by the way, in the NBA yesterday. It's Kevin Durant goes from Phoenix to Houston. Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks go from Houston to Phoenix. 10th pick in the draft and 5 second-round draft picks as well. So KD now pushing 37. Matter of fact, he started with the Seattle Supersonics back in 2006, 2007, 2008. So Kevin Durant, I guess last time he's going to join another, I don't know if they're a super team per se, but they were the number 2 seed in the Western Conference, were the Houston Rockets. So we'll see how he mixes in chemistry-wise, load management-wise, and, you know, being a little up there in years, you know, tends to, you know, miss a few games with injuries. But either way, kind of a blockbuster deal going on in the NBA a couple of days before the first round of the NBA draft. Now, College World Series, LSU. They win the championship 2-0 over Coastal Carolina. They win game 1-0. Manager for Coastal Carolina gets the heave-ho. Angel Campos was a former Major League umpire. He's been out of majors for over 10 years. But, I mean, the one dude was trying to break up the brouhaha at the plate. He's tumbling like a weed up down the first base line. But LSU, for the third time, I believe, in 4 years, they win the College World Series, so congratulations to them. The kid that pitched the opener, the brilliant 10K performance, Cade Anderson, has been mock number 1 to the Nationals in the Major League Baseball draft, which is coming up the week of the All-Star break. So we'll see how that one all unfolds as well. It's the Whip Around Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this hot Monday in Baltimore. Only one thing for you this day in Orioles history-wise that goes back to 2014. Oriole Park Camden Yards. Chris Davis hit a 3-run walk-off homer in the bottom of the ninth as the Orioles stunned the White Sox 6-4. Adam Jones, Caleb Joseph also go deep. Brett Brock gets the win in relief of Wei-Yin Chen as the eventual American League East champions handle their business on this night 11 years ago, Oriole Park Camden Yards. Current day Orioles, well, they're coming off a road trip in which they lost more than they won, which is bad. Team coming to town, Texas Rangers, just when it looked like they were going to take over the West, they got cold again. And Jared Sandler from Rangers Radio is going to talk about where they are in the pecking order of the American League. They're very much in the wild card consideration, but they're chasing Houston like everybody else in the AL West. They got a funhouse trip. Nolan McGraw coming up at 11:45. It's Vinny, Haney, Nolan here on this Monday, 105.7.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Coming to Baltimore, doing some things. He's with Rangers Radio Network. Let's welcome in on the Window Nation guest hotline, Jared Sandler. Jared, good morning. Thanks for joining us here in Baltimore.
Hey, thanks so much for having us, guys. This is we're really happy to be welcomed by like 95 degree heat and extreme heat warning. We leave Texas to get out of this mess. What the heck's going on?
Yeah, and we don't have a retractable roof like the Rangers do moving it. You know, it's funny because Camden Yards opened in 92. Then you guys opened the ballpark in Arlington 2 years later, and you're already in a new stadium. And we're still in the same one, but we're not here to talk about modern technology and architecture. Here, Jared, let's talk about the Texas Rangers. And Orioles are banged up. Rutschman just goes on the IL. Westberg got hurt over the weekend in New York, not to count the other guys that are long on the injured list. What's the injury situation for Texas here as we're creeping closer to the midway point in the season?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I mean, you know, obviously every team deals with it. I feel like the Rangers have kind of been on the right side of it this year. You know, you look at their record, I don't think it's fair to suggest that injuries are a big reason why they're under 500 yet. You know, they've missed Corey Seager a little bit, and maybe that's the biggest one. Even, you know, when healthy, it seems like he's really just kind of fighting it, dealing with a hamstring issue and doing what he can to just be out there. But, you know, for the most part, the team has been healthy relative to, you know, what every team goes through, especially on the pitching front. Now, that's changed a little bit the last couple of weeks. Tyler Mahle, who got off to such a great start and was, you know, heading towards an all-star game, is out. And I don't know that there's any real plan or immediate plan for return. He hasn't started to throw yet. And Nathan Eovaldi went on the IL with a triceps issue. He'll be back this weekend, but he won't pitch in this series. And then the Rangers have been without John Gray and Cody Bradford all year after they each got hurt in spring training. But those guys are both nearing a return. Cody probably 3 weeks away, and John maybe 2 weeks away if they decide to use him as a reliever. So I know I just listed a bunch of people, but it's tough to cite the pitching issues or pitching injuries as a reason for why this team's under 500, because this pitching staff has been outstanding all year. This has been arguably the best pitching staff that the Rangers have ever had in terms of just production. So the real bugaboo for this Rangers team has been the lineup. You know, they had stretches where they were without this guy or without that guy. But again, nothing egregious, and, you know, certainly nothing to truly justify why the lineup has underperformed the way it has.
Yeah, run production, they're even worse than the Orioles have been here so far in 2025. But Brett Boone was brought in as the new hitting guru, of course. And I guess there was an early boost there for a little bit. I mean, runners in scoring position for the Rangers, much like the Orioles, you know that, Jared, has been somewhat of a problemo for Texas as well. So give us a couple of guys that have been kind of not living up to what the expectations were for them in regards to putting runs on the board.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I hate to say he's not living up to expectations, just because, you know, like I mentioned, he's clearly playing through stuff that maybe would be best handled with another IL stint. But Corey Seager, you know, he's one of the five best hitters in baseball. I mean, he is unreal. He just hasn't been that guy. And again, you know, I think when someone doesn't go, like Adley, first time on the IL, right? And that's going to happen. That doesn't mean that he's soft or, you know, gosh, you know, he's not willing to play through this. It obviously got to a point where he couldn't play through this, but we know this with catchers, they play through so much, right? Well, just because Corey's, you know, goes on the IL, it seems like, you know, once a year he'll have an IL stint, doesn't mean this guy doesn't play through a ton. He does, and he's out there probably earlier than he otherwise would be, but he just hasn't been that dominant force in the middle of the order. Adolis Garcia has been a lot better here in June, but April and May was really rough. Marcus Semien was maybe the worst that we've ever seen him through the first 2 months of the season. He started to turn things around. I think you look at some of the young guys. Josh Young has really struggled for the last month or so. He's in the longest home run drought of his career. Wyatt Langford's been okay, but I think it's the power that's the issue, guys. You know, I think a lot of people thought that the Rangers, they were never going to be a big on-base team. This is not a lineup that's constructed to just wear you down on the mound and get on base and draw walks and do all these things. This was a lineup that was built to hit the long ball, and they just haven't done that. It just hasn't been, you know, a big part of their identity consistently. You know, they don't have a guy with 15 home runs even, not a single guy. And then before the year, you know, one of the questions was how many guys are going to hit 20 home runs on this team? 7, 8, 9, you know, and if guys stayed healthy, they had 10 guys who, if they stayed healthy, you know, you could justify as 20 home run hitters and a few who would get to 30, obviously. It just hasn't been the case. This is a team that does not hit the home run ball. And oddly, you know, you're talking about ballparks, Globe Life Park or the ballpark in Arlington, Ameriquest Field, all its different names. That was one of the launching pads in baseball, right? You know, you want to get your bat going. Hey, go play there. Go play at Coors Field. Go play, heck, you know, before Oriole Park, you know, had all these plastic surgeries, you know, that was a great hitter's park. Globe Life Field has been the most pitcher-friendly ballpark in baseball. It ranks last in runs per game, last in hits per game, last in home runs per game, last in extra base hits per game. And so it's tough to know. You know, there's a lot of data out there that suggests the ball is just not traveling there at all, you know, relative to maybe the drag that's existed around the rest of the league. But how much of it is that the Rangers hitters aren't muscling balls out there? I don't know, but the home run ball just has not been a part of the equation the way people thought it would be.
Well, who knows? You might bust out this week against the Orioles, starting a 3-game set tonight, 6:35. Jared Sandler, Rangers Radio, joining us here, 105.7 The Fan, talking about this matchup. And go back to the pitching, in particular the bullpen. When the Orioles let Jacob Webb walk, me and Nolan were kind of flummoxed by the Orioles' decision to do so, because he was very strong out of the Orioles' pen last year. What about his acquisition? What's it meant for the Rangers? Because I haven't watched every game, I'm not going to lie to you, for the Texas Ball Club. But his stats don't look overwhelming, but it looks like he may have settled down a little bit here.
Yeah, he's done a nice job. I think when Chris Young addressed the bullpen, we basically have a bullpen that looks totally different this year than it did last year. There is not a single guy who's active in the bullpen right now who was on the active roster last year, unless I'm forgetting someone. Josh Forbes will eventually change that, but he's still hurt. But yeah, I mean, with Jacob Webb, he was a part of a big facelift, and it was just about raising the floor. That was kind of the phrase Chris Young used, raising the floor. If you look at the Rangers bullpen, they don't have that Felix Bautista, big, sexy, intimidating reliever. And I know he's still trying to work his way back, but obviously pre-injury, that guy, when he took the mound, you're like, no shot. Like, let's just, maybe if we hit one ball hard, we'll feel good about it. Joan Duran, guys like that. The Rangers don't have that, but they've got a lot of solid options. Sean Armstrong, former Oriole, I think, has been huge for the Rangers. And yeah, Jacob Webb, he's not sexy, right? And you're right. You look at the back of the baseball card, nothing about it's going to stand out, but he's just been really solid, and he's pitched well in different roles for the Rangers. And so, yeah, I mean, no one's going to talk about Jacob Webb as a savior or a big reason why this or that, but the Rangers bullpen collectively has been really, really good, and guys like Jacob Webb and Hobie Milner and Sean Armstrong are a big part of that. I think their bullpen ERA prior to yesterday, where they had a guy named Caleb Bosley just eat some innings to save the bullpen, their bullpen ERA prior to yesterday, I think, was like sub-2 over the last 3.5-4 weeks. So, guys like Jacob Webb, a big part of that.
All right, Jared. Jacob DeGrom coming back from another injury, a pretty significant one, but boy, he is dealing. Looks like the Orioles might see him on Wednesday night here in Baltimore. But what's it like watching him apply his trade at a very high level?
Yeah, it's a pleasure. It's so much fun. We there's all this talk around baseball about how the starting pitcher has been devalued, and there just aren't as many guys. I mean, guys, I'm 35 years old, so even I grew up going to Rangers games, wanting to look that night. Hey, who's the pitcher? Or like, hey, the Mariners are coming to town. Hey, can we go to the game Randy Johnson starts? You know, like that was a cool thing. And it just doesn't seem like that exists as much anymore, in part because, all right, even if the pitcher does go, you know, gosh, I hope I get five innings out of him. There just aren't a ton of guys who I think people will go to the yard to see specifically. It's like, hey, let's go to a game, but let's make sure we try and see this guy, right? It's usually nowadays just, hey, do you want to go to a ball game tonight? Sure. Oh, hey, by the way, who's playing? You know, no one really puts that thought into it. Jacob deGrom, I think, is on the short list of guys who, you know, people will go out of their way to see, and if they don't, they should. I mean, it's something else, guys. And the Rangers are kind of holding him back a little bit. You know, they want to make sure that, gosh, you know, that hopefully the Rangers want to be playing meaningful baseball in September, and they want him to be pitching at a high level still. And just because he hasn't thrown that much in the last 2 years, they want to be sensitive to not overusing him. So if the Rangers, a couple starts ago, Jacob deGrom, I think, was through six innings at 60-something pitches, but the Rangers were up by six runs, and so they pulled him. You know, he could have gone the distance probably in that game. They're not overusing him, but he's been a ton of fun. And, you know, he can still add and subtract as he needs to. He can throw 101, but he just doesn't. You know, he's trying to do what he thinks is best to keep himself healthy. So, you know, he really dials it back to like 98, 99, right, guys? I mean, that's, you know, feel really badly for him. But he's been a lot of fun to watch. And the one thing I'll say, guys, I feel so compelled to say this after the last 2 years with him prior to this year. He had a reputation in New York, and we all know how New York and, you know, things can just go crazy with one comment or one this or one story about, oh, you know, he doesn't care, he's not a great teammate or whatever. If you were to ask the guys who have shared a clubhouse with him over the last 2 years and how, you know, 3 months of this season, there's no doubt that if they would identify their three favorite teammates, Jacob deGrom would be on the majority of those guys' lists. I mean, he's awesome. He doesn't love talking in front of the camera, but that doesn't mean that, you know, he's not a giving, caring teammate who wants to win. He just didn't fit in New York City. He's a small town Florida guy. He didn't like the bright lights. The Big Apple environment's not for him. And even though DFW is a big market, we're not, you know, it's not all the media in DFW. They're trying to figure out who like the 76 training camp invite's going to be for the Cowboys, right? You know, they're not huddling around Jacob deGrom's locker in the clubhouse, asking him why he threw a 1-1 changeup on a, you know, an innocuous at bat in the second inning. And so I think he's really comfortable in Texas, and it's been a lot of fun observing him and certainly getting to watch him pitch.
Jared Sandler, Rangers Radio Network. Jared, appreciate the time and the information. Enjoy the series with the Orioles here, and we'll talk to you down the road, I'm sure.
Sounds good, fellas. Take care.
You got it. Jared Sandler, everyone. We'll come back, reset the program for you. Nolan McGraw is going to be joining us. News from the desk coming up top of the hour. Going to talk some Ravens. Hopefully talking money at 12:15 with buy or sell. Steve Molesky, talk Orioles with him. Birds back home after a losing road trip. The Orioles win the opener, and then they score two runs the rest of the series, which isn't obviously going to get it done. BBT Tonight brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. Coming up at 5:30, me, Nolan, and Ryan Ripken live from Pickles. It's going to be hot. Dress accordingly. Stay hydrated and keep us hydrated when you come down and say hello. Nolan, what's happening?
Doing good over here. Now, if you're like me, you saw this pitching matchup tonight. You saw Patrick Corbin, and you got a little excited, mostly because you remember how bad he was with the Nationals. And when I say bad, I mean really bad. Multiple times leading the league in losses, multiple times leading the league in earned runs allowed. So I'm thinking, hey, maybe this is an opportunity to start a series out on the right foot, get after a guy. But as Bob mentioned, lefty, always an adventure when the Orioles are facing that. And he's actually pitching pretty well this year. Yep. I don't know why all of a sudden in his mid-30s he was able to turn it around. But I think last time out was his worst start, and he gave up four runs. So this guy's been as consistent can be this year. I don't know. Could be an unexpected tall task ahead.
And looking at the Orioles lineup, we'll see with Westberg, as we've talked about. Talk more about this, Steve Molesky, in the 12 o'clock hour. If Westberg's not in the lineup today, then he gets pulled on Saturday. Didn't start yesterday. And if he's not going against the lefty, maybe Manzolino will have something to say about that before the game. If he's playing, then it's a moot point. Don't worry about it. But the only player that's had any level of success, granted it's limited, Arias is 2-for-6. against Corbin. Sanchez has taken him deep, his only hit. 167 combined batting average for the Orioles, who may or may not face him this evening. Gunner, for instance, is 0-for-5 mm-hmm. against Patrick Corbin. So what does this mean starting at 6:35 tonight? Nothing. But there are some trends to maybe keep an eye on here.
Well, especially with Sanchez, I mean, is he even going to play? You know, ends up having to play all 3 days this weekend, and we don't know what the catching situation is going to be at this point. So, you know, no off days for at least another week or so. So they got to get through it. They already made a move at pitcher with Cano to try to get a fresh arm here. So we'll see. There's going to have to be another catcher coming up.
Yeah, and if Maverick Hanley, right. I mean, you already had the dude that was on the taxi squad yesterday. So it's going to be an interesting scenario for Tony Manziel. What we do know, speaking of catchers, that's not going to be Adley, at least through the All-Star break, which oblique. Today's the 23rd. At least a month before we see him again. As he was getting hot, too.
And that's the go figure part of it, is that, you know, he could have easily been slumping, continuing a slump that started last year and into the start of this year, and probably no one would bat an eye. If anything, maybe the response would be, you know, hey, maybe this is actually good for him, give him a chance to reset himself. But he was swinging well, and he was contributing, and he was justifying having his name penciled into the top half of the lineup on a nightly basis. Just can't catch a break.
Yeah, well, that's why the Orioles are where they are. They've had injuries. They've been underperforming in a lot of areas. They're in last place, and they've been kind of buried at the bottom of the AL East for a while. This isn't something that just came out of nowhere. This has been a month plus. 6.5 out of the wild card, so they lost a half a game over the weekend. Only we got time for a fun house, or you got anything else you want to share with
people? Yeah, we got a few.
Quick Draw's Fun House. Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com. 105.7 The Fan.
Couple thoughts on the Orioles. We'll start with catcher. Texter here says, no reason not to give Samuel Basayo an opportunity. Better than anything you have right now. I'd rather watch a young kid with high upside work through it in the majors than someone like Chadwick Tromp or some other no-name catcher get a start.
Yeah, I think Tromp might be part of the reality for the Orioles too here, depending on what happens with Hanley. Yeah, I'm down with it. Let's go. What else do you have to lose? Service time. Okay, you'll manipulate that as you see fit, but you want to get the fan base a little jolted here? Has it been a disappointing season heading into the break? Why not? It's a moot point because Manziel just Mutombo'd it on Saturday, so we'll follow.
And one other one here. This texter says, convincing wins have been rare for the Orioles this year, so they should absolutely be playing small ball any chance they can get. Run production not there anyway. Who cares about giving up an out to move some runners over? What do you have to lose would be my question to Manzo and players.
Yeah, you get guy on second and third with one out, assuming they execute the sacrifice correctly, which is no given any day anyway nowadays. And then what's New York walk the bases loaded? Do they pitch to Moo Man with the first base open where all he needs is maybe their infield's in, ground ball through, scores maybe two runs. Yeah, I'm all about the bunt. You know, the one dude was all about the base. I'm all about the bunt yesterday in that situation. They didn't. Three guys struck out consecutively, uprising, squashed.
And, I mean, I think one run there, even one run, might be enough to change the entire game. Obviously, you lose 4-2, so you're thinking, well, we need at least four. But you probably approach that next inning from a pitching standpoint, or the bottom half of the inning, rather, a little bit different. Maybe it's a quicker hook for Baker, if a runner gets on, and maybe you could salvage a 3-2 game or at least 3-3 and push at the extras. Who knows?
Yeah, because the Mountain would have been available, right? He didn't pitch Saturday.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
I don't know. It's a moot point now. Again, Orioles, they lose 2 out of 3 to New York. They go 3-4 on the road trip. All right, they salvage the split with Tampa. It should have been 3-1. They blew an 8-0 lead. Now the Rangers come to town. They're struggling offensively, just like the Orioles. And if you look at the pitching matchup, as Nolan said, you got to go advantage Texas. But That's why they play the games. News from the Nets coming up next. Advantage Ravens, it looks like, personnel-wise, throughout the AFC North. We'll start breaking down some of those battles. Stick around for that. Let's count that early week money with buy or sell. And then Steve Molesky will talk about the Birds of Baltimore limping back home, trying to salvage the first half here. Looking for another six-game winning streak. That would be nice.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.